It's Let's Pretend time. Hi there, pretenders. Welcome once again to Old Let's Pretend as we take our magic carpet ride with Judy, Gramps, and Tommy through their fanciful flights into fantasy with such exciting characters as Rumpelstiltskin, Jack the Giant Killer, Puss in Boots, and many others too numerous to mention. So let's get set for our magic carpet ride over the Milky Way and points beyond as we join that funsome threesome in another of their exciting escapades in the land of enchantment, Let's Pretend Land. And now here she is, a real beauty, your Let's Pretend gal friend, Judy.
Well, thanks, Walt. Hi, pretenders. How are you all today? Oh, my, we have a really big Let's Pretend package all lined up and ready to go just as soon as Gramps and Tommy get it opened. Say, how are you two making out?
Oh, pretty good, Judy. Boy, today's Let's Pretend package seems to be bigger than usual. You suppose it could be on account of our answering the requests of so many of our round-the-world pretenders?
Jeepers, I don't know for sure, but I'll bet that's what it is, Gramps. Oh, boy. Gosh, this package is sure heavy. I wonder what is in it.
Yes. Oh, boy. Sure has me buffaloed, Tommy. Say, maybe we better ask Judy on account of it's really in her department. Come on, Judy. How's about letting us in on the Let's Pretend surprise package secret? What is it?
All in good time, Gramps. But first, there are a couple of chores that we have to do with our request letters.
Well, what, for instance?
Well, we have to read some of them.
Oh.
Here's one, for instance, that you can read.
Oh. All right, Judy, here goes. Now, let me see. Where'd I put my glasses?
Gramps, you got them on.
Oh, so I have. Well, let's see. Where was I? Request letters. Oh, now I remember. Well, sir, this here letter's addressed to all three of us. It says, Dear Judy, Gramps, and Tommy, that's us, I am not old enough to write, so we'll let Mother write for me. I am 6 years old, and my brother Gary is 5. We listen to your stories every Saturday, and we sure enjoy them. It's so cold here that we have to stay in the house most of the time to play, because, you see, Alaska is so far north. We'd like to have you tell us the story of Snowdrop and the 7 Dwarves. Thank you, Arlita Ray Herning, Fairbanks, Alaska. Now, that sure is a pretty letter, isn't it, Judy?
Oh, it certainly is, Gramps. And just for that, we've got a surprise for Arlita Herning and her brother, Gary.
And pray, what might that be, Fair Judy?
Gramps, you old silly. Never mind. I think instead of me mentioning the surprise, I'll just turn the program over to Uncle Bill and the Pretenders. In fact, Uncle Bill doesn't even know about it yet either, because I've only told the Pretenders. So let's let the Pretenders tell about it. What do you say, Gramps and Tommy?
Well, sounds right to me.
Me too.
All right, then. The vote's unanimous. So, gang, here's Uncle Bill and the Pretenders with today's special request story. Let's give them a hand.
Thank you for that very nice welcome, audience. What's on your mind? Well, where's that story, huh? Well, Pat, Sybil, come in here, but quick.
Today's story, Uncle Bill, is the beloved Snowdrop and the 7 Dwarfs.
Hooray for our side. Well, what are we waiting for?
For Don Hughes to say how we travel.
Well, let's see, Pat. Those 7 little dwarfs worked hard in a mine, didn't they?
Sharp memory, but they did.
Then let's go right down in the mine with them.
Oh, well, a mine it is. Everybody get on the lift, and no stops till we hit the bottom of the shaft. All set?
Yes, sir.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, Joe, cut her loose.
Once upon a time, in a far-off kingdom, a lovely queen pierced her hand while knitting. As the drops of blood fell on the snow, she remarked to her devoted companion, Margot, that should she ever have a baby, she hoped the child's skin would be as white as the snow, her cheeks red as the drops of blood, and her black hair as the ebony knitting needle. And she would be called Snowdrop. Her wish came true, but the gentle queen passed over to the land beyond the sky. It is years later now in the castle of a cruel and heartless queen, Snowdrop's stepmother.
Margot.
Yes, Snowdrop.
Why doesn't my stepmother love me? I've tried so hard to be good and obedient.
Because she's jealous of your beauty, which she knows will be greater than hers.
But why should she hate me? Am I to blame?
Oh, she's a terrible woman, and if she heard me she'd say that, she'd have me killed.
And that's exactly what will happen to you, Margot. Another speech like that, and Snowdrop will have a new governess.
Oh, but
get out! And take that brat with you. I don't want to catch sight of her again today.
Oh, come, Snowdrop, quickly.
Little wretch, I'm sick of the sight of her. Mirror, mirror on the wall, am I the most beautiful of all?
Beauty is yours, but thy reign will stop when the world first sees the fair Snowdrop.
I won't have that child being called more beautiful than I won't. Well?
It is I, the hunter, madam. May I come in?
Come in, hunter.
Yes, madam. You have an errand for me to do, your highness.
Yes, listen carefully. Here is gold and plenty of it. I want you to do a particular mission for me.
Gladly, if I can.
You can and must. I command it. You see that child playing in the yard?
A beautiful child with the black hair?
She isn't beautiful. Take her into the forest, and when you're deep in the woods, do away with her.
You mean kill that lovely little girl?
Exactly.
Madam, I can't.
It's your life or hers. Either you do as I say, or I'll have you killed as a spy. Now, which will you choose?
I have a family to care for, madam. I have no choice. When must I do it?
Right now. I don't ever want to see her again.
Oh, Hunter, don't kill me, please. I've never harmed a soul.
Snowdrop, I can't kill you. I simply can't. What shall I do with you?
I'll run away, and the queen will think I'm dead.
Yes, but she'll want proof of your death.
Kill a young deer. Take its heart to her, and she will think it's mine.
By my soul, I will. But will you be all right? This forest is filled with wild beasts.
I'm not afraid of them. They like me.
Pray heaven you're right, little one. Go quickly. May you find a safe shelter.
Thank you, dear hunter. Bye.
Oh, I never heard of such a thing. Anybody would think I was the laziest dwarf in the world.
As if there were any doubt of that, your heart. What did you do all yesterday?
What did I do? Why, all day I fought with a great...
Oh, brothers, listen to him. There he starts again to tell of yesterday's terrific fight.
What did you fight, Yaha, to keep from going to work?
I fought a wildcat, a great big cross-eyed wildcat. It weighed 250 pounds.
Thought you told me 300.
Yeah, well... Oh, well, it lost weight while we were fighting.
You clown. Come in and continue after supper. Well, Brother Dwarfs, it's good to be home, isn't it?
What? Somebody's been eating my bread.
Huh?
Somebody's been drinking my milk.
Somebody's been using my fork.
Oh, somebody's been eating my porridge.
And somebody's been near my bed.
And mine, too.
Dwarfs, here is the answer. Look at this beautiful little girl on my bed, asleep.
Are you sure she's only asleep? Maybe she's dead. Wake her up and ask her if she's dead.
Oh, keep quiet, you idiot. course she's asleep.
Huh? I'm going to sneeze.
Then run out into the yard. Quickly.
Not in time. I see. Oh, you idiot.
Oh, where am I?
Oh, please, little maiden, do not fear us.
No. No, don't. Don't be afraid. I... excuse me.
Oh, you're funny when you sneeze. I'm not afraid anymore.
Oh, we welcome you here. What is your name?
Snowdrop is my name. What's yours?
Well, I am Morgan. And these are all my brothers, if not in blood, in bonds of friendship. Here's Lockton.
How do you do?
And Groat.
Hello.
And Eric.
How do you do?
Basil.
Hello.
Torgan.
How do you do?
And that sneezing monkey over there is the bane of our lives. His name is Yaha.
Hello.
I'm glad to know all of you. Yaha, your sneeze is the loudest thing I ever heard.
Oh, you should hear me when I have hiccups.
Never mind. How did you happen to visit our cottage, Snowdrop?
Oh, that's a long story. Please, little dwarfs, I'm all alone in the world and so lonely. May I stay here and keep your little cottage clean and cook your meals? Please, I won't be in the way and I'll work real hard. May I?
What do you say, dwarfs? I, for one, am willing. I, for 6 dozen, am too.
You make enough noise for 6 dozen, but speak only for one.
Our cottage and all that is in it is yours, Snowdrop. Welcome.
Yes. Welcome, Snowdrop.
Thank you very much. I know I'm going to...
Mirror, mirror on the wall, am I the most beautiful of all?
Thou art the fairest here, O queen, but Snowdrop over the hills I ween, in the little house where the 7 dwarfs thrive, is the sweetest and loveliest maiden alive.
Little offspring of the devil, I knew that hunter lied. This girl must die. I'll use every bit of magic I possess. I know. The poisoned apple, the red apple that kills and leaves no clue. I'll disguise myself as an old woman. I'll even share the apple with her. The poison will be only in the red side of it. She won't suspect it then. Be ready, my mirror. The next time you'll tell a different story.
Anybody home, please? Anybody home?
Hello, old lady. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you. I saw your cozy little cottage, and I'm so very tired. I hoped you wouldn't mind.
Of course not. Sit here and rest.
Oh, your cottage is so clean and shining. Do you live here all alone?
Oh, no. I'm housekeeper for 7 very dear little... What? I promised I wouldn't...
What?
Look, I've just made some tea. You'll have a cup with me, won't you?
Well, only on one condition. I'll share the tea with you if you'll share this apple with me.
Oh, no, old lady. You keep it for yourself.
Well, then I can't have the tea, much as I'd like it.
Oh, dear. Very well, then. Just one bite.
Then it must be from the lovely red side.
Oh, no.
I insist.
Then to please you. There. Thank you.
Now I will have some tea.
All right. There you... Do you take cream or... Oh, I'm sorry. I... Oh, lady, help me. I can't get... Oh.
A poison works quickly. It never fails. Much good your beauty will do you now, my fair Snowdrop. And so, Magic Mirror, You'll tell a different story now.
Say, Tommy, what's that you're looking at?
It's a picture of you and Judy and me on Let's Pretend.
Ooh, let me have a look at it. Say, that's a good picture of Judy, but I don't know about me. You look pretty good, too, Tommy.
Oh, stop being so hard to please, Graham. I think it's a very good picture of you. In fact, it even flatters you a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
Oh, are these the pictures you're sending to all the pretenders who write in for them, Gramps and Judy?
That's right, Tommy.
Hey, and they're autographed, too.
Well, look, it says, to Jimmy, with best regards from all of us, Judy, Gramps, and Tommy. That's pretty nice, but my name looks a little hard to read. Do you think the pretenders will have a lot of trouble understanding it?
Oh, they might have a little, Tommy, but nothing to worry about.
Well, now it's time to get back to today's special request story. But don't forget to keep listening right after Act Two, because then we'll tell you how to get one of these pictures all for yourself. Now here's Uncle Bill and the pretenders with the rest of our story, Snowdrop and the Seven Dwarves.
Snowdrop's stepmother, the Wicked Queen, was determined that Snowdrop should die. So, exerting all her magic, she poisoned the red side of an apple. Then, disguising herself as an old woman, she coaxed the unsuspecting Snowdrop to take a bite of the fruit. At the taste of the poison, Snowdrop fell into a death-like sleep, and the evil queen left her, believing her dead. Now it is the next day in the saddened cottage of the seven little dwarfs.
It's no use, dwarfs. We've done everything we can think of. Our Snowdrop is gone.
Oh, I can't believe it. Snowdrop, oh little flower in your crystal coffin, speak to us.
Her heart is still. There's no life in her body. Our Snowdrop is gone forever.
How beautiful she is in death. We cannot put this lovely form into the cold earth.
No, no, I couldn't bear to think of it.
That is why I suggested we make her a coffin of glass. We will keep her here always.
My precious little Snowdrop. So lovely. So still. How can we live without her? Someone is coming. Who are they, Groot?
A hunting party is approaching. It's royalty from the castle. Look, Morgan. They're stopping here.
Yes, there's the prince himself. They're coming up the path. Yaha.
Yes, Morgan.
A prince stops at our cottage. Make him welcome.
Enter, prince.
We seek shelter for the night, friend. May we come in?
Your highness, our humble cottage is yours. Though we are saddened by the angel of death, we will try to make you comfortable.
Thank you, little dwarf. Come in, men, quietly, please. There is sorrow here. Who has died, little man?
Our beloved Snowdrop, sire. You may see her if you like. She is here in this glass coffin.
Oh, what perfect beauty. Surely one so young, so lovely, is not dead. She only sleeps.
Would it were so, sire.
Was it of illness she died?
We do not think so, your highness, but we can't discover the cause of her death.
I cannot believe she is dead. Little men, come with me. Bring this beautiful little lady to the castle. Then I will summon all the court physicians. And if in all the kingdom there is a cure or a way of restoring her to life, she will be made well again.
That is kind of you, prince. What do you say, Brother Dwarf?
I would give my life to bring her back to us.
And I,
too.
Then come. Lift the crystal coffin on your shoulders, and we shall start back immediately.
Very well. You, Yaha, stand at her feet.
All right,
then,
Morgan.
Then you, Lockton and Eric, on one side with me. Yes, Groot, Basil, and Torgan on the other.
Very well.
Are you all ready, men?
Yes, we're all ready.
Then let us start. Open the door, and be careful. Carry her gently, men. Careful of the step.
Yes, watch it, men.
Oh? What's the matter, young heart? Huh? Be careful, young heart. What's the matter?
I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, you stupid. You've dropped your end of the coffin. Oh, Yaha. Listen. Do you hear that? It's from the coffin. It's Snowdrop.
She moved. Quickly. Help me lift the lid.
Quickly now.
She lives. Our Snowdrop lives.
What's this? Look, men. What? A piece of apple dropped from her mouth.
Lockton, why am I in this crystal case?
Snowdrop. Oh, our darling is alive again.
Snowdrop, are you all right?
What happened to you, Snowdrop?
What did you do, Snowdrop? Did anyone come to the cottage while we were away?
What was the last thing you remember?
An old woman shared an apple with me. And I remember nothing after that.
No wonder we could find no trace. The apple was poisoned. Your Highness, come here quickly.
Yes, little dwarf. What is it?
Look, our princess is alive and all right.
This is our Snowdrop, restored to life again.
I am unspeakably glad. But what happened?
Leave it to our Yaha. He would have one of his sneezing fits and stumble. That dislodged the poisoned apple Snowdrop had eaten.
Oh, thank heaven for that.
Oh, Prince, surely I have seen you somewhere.
And all my life, I have searched for someone like you, dear little Snowdrop. Dwarfs, if someday in the future she will consent, may I beg the hand of Snowdrop in marriage?
If Snowdrop should wish it, we give our consent. What do you say, Snowdrop?
I know now where I've seen you, dear prince. I have dreamed of you in my sleep. So that must mean that in time I will grow to love you.
I will devote my life to your happiness, my little princess. Come, dwarfs. Our procession has changed from one of sorrow to great happiness. Come.
Where, Your Highness?
To the palace, where all of you will be made welcome. And have a home always.
Oh, how nice. Thank you, dear prince. I couldn't live without my little friends. You will come, won't you?
Can we see Snowdrop every day?
Yes, Yaha.
And have pudding every day?
As often as you want it. What do you say?
Well, I say... I say...
Mirror, mirror on the wall, am I the most beautiful of all?
In the prince's castle, there is a bride, no lovelier girl in the countryside. Your fame, your power are dead, I ween. And in your place, Snowdrop is queen.
Don't believe it. You lie, you cheating mirror. It isn't so. I won't have it. You lie. There. You shan't tell me Snowdrop is alive and more beautiful than I. I can't breathe. Help me, someone.
Like the story, Arlita and Gary. And now let me see. Oh, yes. How to get an autographed picture of Gramps, Tommy, and me. Just write a penny postcard or letter to Judy. That's me.
Telling in 15 words or less why you like Let's Pretend.
And we'll send you by return mail an autographed picture of Judy and Gramps and me.
That's right. And be sure to send your request in care of Let's Pretend Armed Forces Radio Service, Los Angeles, USA.
Grabs, will you do me a favor?
You bet your boots, Tommy. What is it?
Well, a little friend of mine, his name is Jackie Turner, he wants to know if you tell his favorite story again. You know, the one about Pete the Pelican?
Oh, I sure will, Tommy. Now, are you listening, Jackie?
Well, now, this pelican, Pete his name was...
Gramps.
Huh?
What is a pelican?
What is a pelican? Well, you know what a swan looks like, don't you, Tommy?
Uh-huh.
Well, a pelican looks something like a swan, only his neck is shorter and his beak is longer. And under this beak is a pouch in which he keeps the fish he catches.
Oh, I see. You mean he... Huh?
It's very simple, Tommy. Now, listen. When a pelican's flying over the ocean, he keeps his eye on the water below. And when he sees a fish swimming along, he real quick-like swoops down, scoops the fish up in his beak, but instead of swallowing it, he lets it land flop in this pouch I was telling you about. And then before the day's over, he has maybe, 10 fish or more to take home to his family.
Oh, I see.
Well, sir, Pete was a pretty happy pelican, and he used to sing this song.
We find fish a tasty dish, me and my family. I can haul a lot in this pouch I got for my family. I go out and catch 'em, then straight home I fetch 'em to my family.
Yes, sir, he was a nice daddy pelican, all right. And everything would have been fine, except for one thing.
What was that, Grant?
Hobo the Hawk.
Hobo the Hawk?
That's right. You see, Hobo the Hawk liked to eat fish, but he was too lazy to catch him for himself. That was just a mite too much trouble for him. So he figured out a way to get fish without doing any work. Here's what he did. When he saw Pete coming home at night with a load of fish in his pouch, he'd fly way up above him. And then all of a sudden, without any warning, mind you, he'd zoom down at poor Pete. Just like a dive bomber. And scare poor Pete out of a year's growth.
Golly, Gramps, what did Pete do?
Well, sir, Pete would open his beak to call for help, and just like that, faster than you could say Jack Robinson, that old hobo hawk would grab a fish from Pete's pouch and fly away.
That was a dirty trick.
You bet it was. And an old hobo would do it every day, too, every day. And it used to make Pete so mad.
Golly, I'd say so.
And even though he spent a lot of time studying over this problem, he couldn't think of any way of getting back at Hobo the Hawk. Every day, just like clockwork, Hobo would scare him half to death and grab another fish.
Well, didn't he ever figure out a way to get back at Hobo, Gramps?
Well, yes, he did, Tommy, and here's the way it came about. One day, he was talking to a lobster named Lester. And Lester the lobster said,
I can live in water, I can live on land. I'm lucky that way. Wish I could fly like you. I like that. I like that.
But, Lester, you know lobsters can't fly.
I know. I know that. It's absolutely impossible. But I'd like to. Like to. What are you thinking about, Pete? Hmm? Oh, huh, Pete? What are you thinking about, Pete?
Wait a minute. I just figured it out. A way for you to fly, Lester.
Well, tell me, tell me, tell me.
And you can also help me teach Hobo the Hawk a lesson.
Oh, tell me, tell me, tell me.
Well, sir, now this was Pete's plan. He would take Lester for a ride in his pouch, and he told Lester what he should do when Hobo the Hawk came along to get a free fish. Lester thought the idea was wonderful, and he quickly crawled into Pete's pouch. Then Pete spread his wings and soared up into the sky. He kind of opened his beak so Lester could observe the scenery.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, it was, Tommy, and Lester was having the time of his life. But then, all of a sudden, Hobo the Hawk came flying toward Pete, smacking his beak in anticipation of a nice, fat fish. And he went through the usual routine, dive-bombing at poor Pete the pelican. Well, Pete opened his beak just like all the other times, but when Hobo poked his head in for a fish, there was a surprise waiting for him.
Lester!
Right! Lester the lobster threw his big green claws around Hobo's neck and held on tight. Hobo tried to fly away, but the weight of Lester around his neck made him top-heavy, and he zigzagged all over the sky trying to gain altitude. Oh, poor Hobo was so frightened and confused by what had happened to him that Pete the Pelican felt sorry for him. And so did Lester the Lobster, because after he thought Hobo had learned a good lesson, he released his claws and fell down, 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 kersplash, into the ocean. Well, Hobo, scared as all get out by this time, turned tail and headed for home.
And I'll bet he never bothered Pete the Pelican again, did he, Grim?
No, sirree, Bob, he never did. And afterwards, when Hobo realized how silly he must have looked, bobbing up and down in the sky, trying to get his balance with a lobster hanging onto his neck, he busted right out laughing. And then he went and apologized to Pete for taking fish that didn't belong to him. And Pete forgave him, and ever after that, they were good friends.
Gee, that was swell, Grant.
Oh, it certainly was. But that's all we have time for now. So until next week, this is Judy saying so long for the whole gang. Good pretending.
Sergeant Russ Thompson speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.